Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Take a listen to independent TD Paul Gogarty. He was talking to Breakfast a little earlier this morning about using curfews and community service to stop antisocial behaviour by young people.
What's happened is in my constituency, we've had playgrounds set on fire, people doing circles in scooters around pregnant women in buggies, primary school age kids robbing bikes in the school, throwing stones at teachers, and there's no Garda car because it's stuck up in the courts. I'm sick and tired of it.
Vincent Jennings is the CEO of the Convenience Stores and Newsagents Association. Do you agree with this approach, Vincent?
Good afternoon, Andrea. I most certainly do. I welcome it wholeheartedly, and I hope that he will be successful. I know that Minister Jim O'Callaghan is actually in the throes of developing a series of promises that are being delivering on promises that were made in the programme for government, and they'll be launched on the 7th of October. And they will include exclusion orders and antisocial behaviour orders. But Deputy Gogarty is going further again, and he is making sure that those the scooters and the e-bikes and everything like that that is causing mayhem for many retailers and their staff up and down the country, that they may be subject to seizure. Because it's certainly it's gone way out of hand altogether.
What are your colleagues? What are your members? Sorry, Vincent, telling you. Like when you say it's mayhem, how bad is it?
It is beyond belief just how difficult it is in so many areas. City centre Dublin has become much better with the additional Gardaí, but suburban Dublin, the cities of Cork, of Limerick, of Galway, are all being subjected to these people coming in gangs, in droves, both youngsters under the age of 18 and those over, and they are creating mayhem. Our staff are petrified, are terrified with their behaviour. They're openly causing difficulty inside in stores and threatening and abusive behaviour. It has to stop, and I really welcome this initiative by Deputy Gogarty.
JJ O'Mahony, stay with us if you can, Vincent, for a few moments. JJ O'Mahony is the chairperson of Sporting Liberties. Curfews and seizing PlayStations. Do you agree with this?
Look, in principle, it's easy to agree with that, but in practice, trying to implement these things for either the Gardaí is going to be a huge challenge. So, but I mean, we have to take some steps to try and address these kind of issues. But what I'd be almost as much focused on and equivalent focus on is the causal factors of some of these incidents. And in around the area where we are, and it is the southwest inner city, which actually spills over into the city centre, one of the causal factors is complete lack of facilities and access to amenities for young people in the area. And I mean, one of the things I'd say, an overarching point here, is over the last number of years, there's been, and rightly so, a massive focus on housing. But one of the things we see is had a catastrophic consequences on community infrastructure. There's very little for young people to do in our area.
Is that not a total cop-out, though, JJ? Like, I didn't grow up, I grew up in rural Donegal. There was very few amenities. Like, we didn't have big parks. We didn't have loads of social activities. I'm not going around doing anything, you know, when my friends aren't, that Paul Gogarty has described today. Like this idea about a lack of facilities, if we had 20 more playgrounds and bowling alleys and all of these different things that are often mentioned, amenities for young people, is that really going to stop this kind of behaviour?
Look, there's no single solution that's a panacea solution for everything here. But I can tell you from where we are, you see a lot of these. See, if you go to more affluent areas, you can easy for you to make that call. But when you go to an area that's more disadvantaged, a lot of these children travel in a knife edge. You fall off your knife edge up in Donegal and there's certain safety nets. You fall in here off that knife edge. And the consequences are there's crime and drugs are where you fall into very, very easily, much so than other areas. And we've been trying for years to give these children alternatives, but with little success. Now, I would say in recent times, Dublin City Council have looked at this, and particularly with Richard Chase coming on board, he seems to acknowledge that there's challenges, and he is working in putting in. But I'm talking basic facilities, Andrea. I'm not talking about something that the things that you already have up in Donegal. We had 8,500 children in this area that has never had access to a single sporting playing field. That's the kind of disparity I'm talking about here. Why these people?
So it's basic amenities. It's
basic. I'm talking about the most basic of amenities here. Not gold plated, certainly.
Well, it's often what I whenever this is mentioned in debates or discussions like this, it's often talked about social clubs and, you know, and playgrounds and access to bowling alleys is a common one that's mentioned, you know, and I often think, like, is that really what's going to prevent and teenagers behaving in the way that is being described today? Willie White is with us too, JJ. Stay with us if you can for a few moments. Willie White is the artistic director of the Dublin Theatre Festival. How bad is it that we now need curfews? And I think fines for parents was suggested too by Paul Gogarty.
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, good afternoon. I'm not going to make light of the problems that people face in retail and around the city. I recently moved to TU Dublin and I was talking to my colleague, Dr. Matt Bowden, who's a sociologist and who has a background in criminology when I knew I was coming on the call. So I'm not going to make light, but actually what works? So if the first impulse is great for getting Deputy Gogarty publicity and he's good at that in general, but what works? And the biggest factor...
Well, to be fair, it's an idea that he is bringing forward.
The biggest factor for socialising people is employment. And actually, you know, it's a scientific... If you can get people to 30, then they usually stabilise because they've got families, they've got jobs, they've got responsibilities. It doesn't work to punish people. I'm not saying that they should get off scot-free, but get people jobs. People probably have a bad experience of education. They may not be in education. Find a pathway for them to get the skills to get them a job, and that's what will socialise. And now, having said that, I live in the inner city or close to the inner city as well, and I see these fellas flying around electric bikes with face masks on, sometimes two of them on a bike and no helmet, and I wonder how that can be allowed. But that's a separate issue, you know, and whizzing through parents pushing their buggies. But I think our first impulse should be to try and understand instead of just punishing, because that's a quick fix. And actually, if you look at the UK, where they've had ASBOs for 30 or 40 years, they don't use, and they're used in a prejudicial way. Be more curious. Why are these people behaving like this? As you said, you didn't behave like that growing up in Donegal. Why are these kids in the inner city behaving like this? And think about a more imaginative solution to the problem. Get them into employment.
So employment, you think, is the solution?
Scientifically, it's true. People, once they're socialised by having employment, they have responsibility, then they move away from antisocial behaviour. It socialises them.
How much of an issue, you know, JJ, you hear people talk about the guards, you know, and the guard, the presence. And to be fair, anyone who's typically engaged with the likes of the community policing programmes tend to have positive experiences from what we hear on the show. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But is it just the threat? Like, how much of this is down to the fact that teenagers are so acutely aware now that there's basically very, very little, to put it politely, that the guards can do?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that children are very much aware of that fact, that if I do get pulled over by the guards or whatever, brought in front of the criminal justice system, the likelihood is that I will be out in a while, so in a short period of time. So there does need to be steps. I think Jim O'Gallan, to be fair, is that, like, I see around the city, and I'm in there quite a bit, is that there has been an increased presence in the Gardaí on the streets, and I do think it is having an impact. So to be fair to Jim O'Gallan, he is doing something like that. But I'd just like to go back to your original point, Andrea, is that you were saying about facilities for young people. There was an article just only this week on the Irish Independent, where I said, Len Kelleher said that, look, you are 50% more likely to use cocaine if you're not regularly involved in sport. So that gives you, like, there is no single solution that's going to come in and say, I'm going to resolve this problem. Mm-hmm. This is going to be multi-organisation, multi-factor approach to try and address this issue with the young people. And some of it is a soft approach, like facilities, and some of it is a hard approach.
It's a hard approach, yeah. And no doubt, Paul Gogarty is looking for a much tougher response to this. Like, this listener says, I live in the Lucan area. The issue with antisocial behaviour, it's really bad here. They are not at-risk children, and there's no lack of amenities. That's not the issue. It's the lack of parental monitoring and the parents not taking responsibility for their own children. I believe that's the issue, says this listener. Janet Horner is with us. Janet's a Green Party councillor in Dublin's North Inner City. Tougher on the spot type penalties, curfews, seizing scooters, seizing PlayStations, even fining the parents, Janet. Do you agree with this?
I mean, I would tend to generally feel that the number one thing that we need to do before you get into penalties is the more resourcing for youth diversion programs, more resourcing for a sports club, for amenities in the local area. And I know you're having listeners coming in there saying they don't feel that's the problem, but certainly from what I see in the North Inner City, that is a consistent issue here. It is not a coincidence that the areas with the most youth antisocial and criminal behaviour are also the areas that have the most marginalisation and poverty in them as well. So, like, if you want to support young people, we know in the area here, for example, when the school holidays are let out in the summer, we will see an uptick in antisocial behaviour. That's not a coincidence. That's born out of boredom, out of lack of facilities, out of lack of alternatives for young people. So if you do want to diverse young people, you want to at all costs avoid criminalizing young people wherever possible, then you need to invest in those resources. If you look at this purely through the lens of policing and criminality, you are going to create far more problems than you're going to solve.
Jay has got in touch to say it's nothing to do with facilities and all to do with the lack of respect that these young thugs have, be it for their elders, older people's property and even themselves. It's down to the parents, their lack of initiating respect and good values with their children. I think fining the parents for their children's behaviour should be brought in. Do you agree with that, Jonathan?
Again, I don't agree with that sentiment really, but what I would say is, you know, that lack of respect often comes from young people just feeling very disaffected by the society. They feel like they've been uncared for, they've been left in the margins, and there's so little resources being afforded to them to allow them to invest in their skills, their talents, their opportunities in life. And that is where that level of disrespect is coming from. So if you do want to, and I know this is maybe a slightly idealistic point, but if you do want to, in general, take that out at the root cause of it, you need to invest in making sure all young people feel that they are being given opportunities, they are being given the best chance they have to thrive in life. And if you can start from there, you're giving a much greater foundation. I do acknowledge that, you know, the reality of the situation is that there is huge amounts of antisocial behaviour and criminality in our communities in different ways. And we can't solve all of the problems that way. I do think, of course, we need to have better engagement with the Gardaí. Young people need to understand that there will be consequences for their decisions, particularly when it goes from antisocial rowdy behaviour, for example, into the likes of criminality. There should be consequences for that.
Just on that
is a difficult one.
When you say that, listeners got in touch, Janet, to say I actually think the age of criminality needs to be reduced to 14 because children are recruited at a young age and they get used to this. Dean Cork makes the point, I think facilities my backside. I'm from Cork's inner city. I turned out well because if I did something wrong, my parents would kill me. There's no responsibility on parents or these troublemakers anymore, and they know it. That's why something has to be done. Listener says, I was at a corporate 5K race the other night at Mare Square in Dublin. Scramblers pulling wheelies with fully masked drivers flying all over the place while waiting to register for the race. There was no guards anywhere to be seen. Embarrassing that this is meant to be your financial centre. More guards in the streets just as a deterrent. I think that is a very basic start to this problem. Vincent, just on a final point, because, you know, we talked about community service and fines for parents and curfews, all of these kind of things for young repeat offenders. These are some of the suggestions going to the Dáil today to try and address antisocial behaviour in towns across the country. It's not just, by the way, in Dublin City Centre. It's towns across the country that we're talking about this.
It's not. It's the sanity. Look, just, Andrea, sorry, just, there's a lot of talk about antisocial behaviour. Let's define what we're talking about. It is misogynistic, vile, abusive, violent behaviour. That's what is happening in stores up and down, in city centres up and down the country. That is what is happening. Mm-hmm. People are being petrified by these young thugs. It's a sanitised version to use the word antisocial behaviour, unless you actually understand exactly what it is. And really important that we, as a society, stand up to this. And many of the people who work in our stores are from the exact same communities as these thugs. They haven't turned out.
to be anything other than model citizens, but they're being petrified. They deserve protection.
Brian has got in touch to say we've had several bins burnt out in Stepaside over the past 2 weeks. Gangs of teenagers doing whatever they want. The guards don't seem to have the manpower to tackle it. Stepaside, it's a nice area. There's loads of sports facilities, playgrounds, open parks, play areas, you name it. We have it. The community Garda is working flat out because they need extra resources, which simply don't seem to be there. My parents both grew up in the inner city of Dublin in near poverty conditions, and they never engaged in this kind of behaviour. That's coming in from Brian. There's so many messages coming in, you know, about this particular issue today. We might come back to it. Keep your thoughts coming into us. Your own experiences of antisocial behaviour. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. That's Vincent Jennings, JJ O'Mahony, Janet Horner and Willie White. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.